world right now. You know, everything is just all over the board. The government and people in general are moving farther and farther away from God, and morals are getting flipped upside down. You know, right is wrong, wrong is right. And but we're going to look at how a Christian should live in relationship to the government. And our primary scripture is Romans 13, 1 through 10. Let's see, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. The rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to government. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm, does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now in Titus 3:1, it says something very similar. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. And remember that. We have to remember to do what is good. In 1 Peter 2:13 and 17, it says, submit yourselves to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you shall silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Well, the first thing that we see in these verses is that the Christian should not have a rebellious attitude toward our leaders. Nothing happens that God does not allow. The politicians who are in power are there because God has allowed it. History has shown us generally that people who are following God will have good leaders, and people who reject God will have ungodly leaders. Look where we are today. An ungodly government and leaders because people have fallen away from God. These passages also tell us that the purpose of government is to be God's representative in preventing bad conduct or wrongdoing. However, when a government becomes an agent of evil or a wrongdoer itself, it is no longer fulfilling its God-given purpose, and the Christian is no longer obligated to obey it. Nevertheless, resisting an evil government may bring severe consequences because, as Romans 13:4 tells us, the government bears the sword. And as history has shown us, it is often very quick to utilize it. These verses gives us two guiding principles to be followed in determining our responsibility to government. The first one is that a good government should be God's servant, dispensing his wrath and his judgments. If this is not the case, we cannot legitimately call that government good. Number two, the believer's conscience must be involved in any response to government. If it is a good government, we should obey it for God's sake. If it is a bad government and they attempt to force us to violate our conscience, we are obligated to do God's will, not the government's. These principles come from the phrase, pay to all what is owed them. We do not owe allegiance to an ungodly government. When God's will and government's will conflict, our allegiance must be to God. The qualifications of what is good and what is evil is not the jurisdiction of the government, at least in the biblical sense. Only praising good and punishing evil is in their purview. Good and evil are still defined by God. This is why the government is to serve God. The government does not determine right and wrong. God does in the biblical sense. This government, or the government, is only administering that reward and punishment. As we know, government contains man-made laws as well, which may or may not follow God's will. We live in a world where everything is getting flipped upside down. The government, media, certain special interest groups, some businesses are redefining good and evil. They're flipping the meaning for their own purposes. They're not serving God. In Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You know, for example, honoring the Sabbath day and observing the Lord are not sins. However, murder, homosexuality, adultery, rape, kidnapping, theft, and perjury are sins. Going to church is not evil. It's good. We can see the trend in the last 2 years of these things getting inverted. Theft and perjury are okay nowadays. But honoring the Sabbath or going to church is not. The government is not supposed to be able to interfere with church disciplines and doctrines in America because we are protected by the Constitution. But we've seen the government in recent years single out churches in violation of the Constitution, trying to erode our rights and keep us from worshiping God. And when we see this kind of thing going on, we often ask ourselves, why should we submit to a government that we believe is moving in the wrong direction? We love our country. We want to cooperate in the political system. We are struggling to understand how to act biblically. How in the world can Paul tell Christians to submit to authorities like he did in Romans 13? When we know for a fact that many human governments are corrupt and unjust. What should a believer do when he feels that his own government is ungodly? Now remember, when Paul wrote that, it was during the reign of the Roman emperors Nero and Caligula, who were two of the worst tyrants in history. The Bible does command Christians to submit to the governing authorities, as it says in Romans 13:1, and to pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. That's out of 1 Timothy 2:2. The point is clear. As long as we can do so without denying Christ or compromising our faith, we must always strive to cooperate with the ruling powers. That doesn't necessarily mean that we will endorse all of their policies or approve of every specific action that they take. This is especially true in a democratic society where it is the duty and responsibility of citizens to examine public servants with a discerning and critical eye. For example, just vote for the people who would be a servant of God and not for a servant of special interests that are not following God. Nevertheless, Christians are responsible to uphold biblical righteousness in a hostile culture, while also expressing respect for its leadership. long and the short of it, then, is that God is always in charge. We can demonstrate that under normal circumstances, we can demonstrate that trust by cooperating with the state, paying our taxes, participating in the system, and staying out of trouble. But this doesn't mean that we should be blind. We can never forget that the power of the human rulers is subject to a higher authority. It is contingent upon the absolute sovereignty of God. Should a situation arise, these two authorities come into clear conflict with each other. Christians have to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:27-30 gives an example of this. This is when the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin. The apostles were brought and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on the cross." In this case, it was the church leaders that were not following God's will. Remember that no matter what the situation is, God is in control. Oftentimes, we are intimidated by our perception of government. We see it as all-powerful as far as the ability to find or rescind our liberties. However, we can rest in the fact that nothing takes place unless God allows it to. In John 19:10-11, Jesus is standing before Pilate. And Pilate says, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. Don't you realize I have the power to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, no one handed me over to you. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." God's sovereignty applies not only to Pilate, but everything in the universe. In closing, I knew this was going to be short. It is very clear that God is sovereign over everything that happens to us. What is our responsibility to God? Our basic foundational response is to do as stated in Mark 12, verse 30. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." When we live in this way, we have nothing to fear from men at all, not even the entity we call the government. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know good leaders come from you. Lord, this nation needs leaders with discerning hearts and wise minds. We come to you today asking you to give us wise leaders that will lead this nation in the right direction. We remove wrong people that are corrupt and living against your word from influential positions. Let our leaders be people who honor your holy name, for it is only from you that they will get true wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.